Okay, I'd like to open in prayer if that's okay. Lord Jesus, I believe that you have a word that you want to speak to us. I thank you that you are the faithful God, and I pray today you will speak. You will reassure us and help us to put our confidence, our faith in you more in the midst of our circumstances. I pray that today I and everyone in this church we'll fix our eyes upon the unchanging, faithful God. We'll catch a glimpse of how great, how powerful, and how true you are. For your glory. Amen. Now, today I'm continuing the series on Joseph. I'm actually doing the first 40 verses of chapter 41. However, I'm going to really focus on the first 16, if only because I think after 40 verses of being read out, it might start to wear a little thin. So the first 16 verses, I'd like to read them, please. I'll give you a second to turn to them. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy, full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Now, I'd like to start by setting the scene, because it's important you understand what's going on here, otherwise you miss some of the most important lessons in this passage. I'm not going to focus on the dream today. I'm going to focus on a man, the star of the show, Joseph, and on the lessons we can learn from him. Joseph, his story starts in the faraway land of Canaan, where he had dreams, he had promises from God that one day he would be great. He had promises of his parents and his brothers bowing their knee to him. Unfortunately, his brothers didn't like that idea. So, from promises of greatness, he wound up thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, And ultimately, right here, right now, he's doing a bit of an A-team trick, imprisoned for a crime he did not commit. In this case, he had a bit of moral integrity. He wouldn't sleep with his master's wife. And out of spite, the old woman scorn thing, she had him thrown into prison. So, promises of greatness from God, Joseph. How's that working out for you? What we're seeing here is really the moment when Joseph's fortunes are about to change. And in all honesty, I don't really know what the title is that Mike wanted me to go by here. But for me, the title is When Faith Becomes Sight. That's what's happening here. We'll be exploring that throughout this sermon. Joseph, you see, there were some things that he understood that I want us to get to grips with. And when we understand those, we can see what got Joseph into this place where his belief in God could become reality, where every promise that God had given, he could see fulfilled. The first thing that Joseph knew was that Eurovision is wrong. If you watched last night's Eurovision, the new anthem written by ABBA is entitled We Write the Story. You know, if you went to Joseph and told him you write your story, he would turn round and tell you you were wrong. His story was not written by him. He believed that the promises of God were the writing of his story. That once a promise had been given by God, that was the way it would be. As one song that I've heard puts it, every promise that you've made and every dream that you've given, I believe the moment that you said it, it was done. The promises of God are sure and certain. You can stake everything on them. And so Joseph, while he was in that prison, he could look at it, and we're not talking prison like modern day. You're not talking, there isn't a debate about whether prisoners in Egypt can have TV. The only debate is whether they'll bother cleaning them out and rid of rats. You're talking absolutely horrendous conditions, the kind that today would probably mean Amnesty International would be having an anti-Egypt campaign. That's really what you're talking about here. And so you're talking a guy, a slave, who is believed to have insulted his master, thrown in a cell. In a dungeon is the word in this passage. And yet, his faith is unshaken. Why? How? Because his confidence in God is greater than his circumstances. I'll say that again. His confidence in God is greater than his circumstances. Look at your own situations. There are promises that God has given to me. I'll make no bones about it. I actually needed to speak this sermon. I wasn't thinking I was intended to until about 3 weeks ago. But I'm so glad I was, because this sermon was for me. Because I needed to hear that the promises of God are greater than my circumstances. There are things I have believed for where when I look at my situations, I don't see how they're going to come to pass. But you know what? I don't write my story. As Psalm 139, verse 16 puts it, every day ordained for me was written in your book of days before one ever came to be. If you have promises in your life and you look at your circumstances and you do not see how they can come to pass, I tell you, if God gave them, they will. You can bet your bottom dollar on them. They're unshakable. They're greater than your circumstances. You see, Joseph had made a decision. He'd resolved in his heart that he would, as the phrase goes, he would walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? Well, faith is being certain of the things that you do not see. It's looking beyond your day to day. It's saying God is the provider, even when you haven't got the money to put food on your table. It's saying God is great when all around you comes caving in. The best illustration, actually, was from a few weeks ago. You see, when Joseph had given these dreams, the passages tell us that his father had kept these things in mind. And when Eddie spoke about those verses, I mentioned afterwards, there was something that really struck me. Joseph's father had heard God had promises, and yet he was given a lie by Joseph's brothers. They came back with a blood-soaked rag and put it in Jacob's arms and said, "Your son is dead." Now, in that second, Jacob had a choice. Would he fix his eyes on the bloody rag in his arms or on the promise that God had given to his son? Which came as a priority? For Jacob, it was the rags. You know, the passage doesn't even say he sent out search parties to see if his son could have been alive. He looked at those rags in his arms and he couldn't see past them. Joseph, in prison, looks beyond the prison to the promise of God. Here's how faith works out in our lives. When there's a promise and the circumstances now they contradict, you know what? There's only one thing that's wrong, and it's not the promise. It's the circumstance. So you can be sure that that circumstance will change. That is as certain as the sunrise. When a circumstance tries to get in the way of God, guess who wins? Right here, right now, we're seeing it. Prisoners were not brought before the Pharaoh of Egypt to interpret dreams. I mean, he has to be cleaned up and shaved. That's the state he's in. He's not fit to see a king. This doesn't happen. But it does. Because God is involved in this equation. You see, that brings us to a third point. The promises of God, they're dependent upon God. Joseph, perhaps, when he was given that promise, would have thought, I'm going to go over to, I don't know, I need a kingdom for this dream to be fulfilled. I don't know how that's going to happen. Maybe we'll visit a king and his daughter will fall in love with me and I'll become an heir. That'd be a fairly logical idea. Not, I'm going to be sold as a slave and thrown in prison. How does that figure in your imagination, Joseph? But the promises of God, well, he's not interested in giving you promises that you can do in your own strength and your own power. If your promises seem impossible, good. Because quite frankly, if your promises from God are possible, they're probably not from God in the first place. Because if you can fulfill God's promises in your own strength, your own power, your own skills and gifts, where does any glory go to God from that? God will give you promises, but they will only come to pass through him. You could almost say it's the perfect test. Is it impossible? Then it might just be from God. If it's not impossible, don't waste your time with it. Look bigger. Get a bigger vision than that. because that's not big enough for God. Joseph, he recognized that he was dependent upon God. And that's why I stopped at verse 16. Look at that verse and imagine you were this man given a chance. And Pharaoh says, can you interpret this dream? And you know this is the gift that God has given you. You'd be saying yes. Here's Joseph's response. No, I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. I cannot, but God. He's not looking to himself. He's not saying, yes, God's given that gift to me. I will do it. He's the saying, no, that's God. I can go to God for you. I can exercise the gift that God has given. But it's all focused around him in this passage. Joseph has realized a lesson that, I have to be honest, to me, this was why the whole story had to happen like this. Because when you read the original verses in verse 37, in chapter 37, he's there saying, you're going to bow to me. And there's not really a mention of God in that verse at all. Now he knows he is utterly, completely dependent upon God. It makes me stop and think. For the promises of God that look impossible to me, is that perhaps the same reason why God actually makes them harder sometimes? Why he stacks the obstacles against you? Because he wants you to learn that lesson. You cannot, but you know who can. Joseph is utterly dependent upon God. In truth, the interpretation of dreams was a gift that God had given him. He was dependent upon the gracious gift of God. Only through that gift could the promise be fulfilled. And because he recognized that, the promise was fulfilled to the glory of God. You see, at the bottom of it all is that question, who gets the glory? Who looks big through what's happening? If the glory is going to go to us, then that's not good enough. We don't deserve glory because everything in us comes from God in the first place. Do you know, the Bible goes so far as to say that Jesus is the sustainer of the world. What that means is that every time I breathe, I am dependent upon the conscious choice of God. I can't even take a breath without my being dependent on God. Every gift I have, just the fact we use the word gift is a clue. A gift comes from somebody, whether it's a spiritual gift, a prophecy or tongues or interpretation of dreams, or whether it's a creative mind. Every gift comes from God. And when we ascribe, when we take glory to ourselves and we say, look at me for exercising these gifts, you know what? We rob God of the glory he deserves. Joseph is in a place now where he has no desire for glory to come to him. If you watch the musical Joseph, there's a reason I haven't played it. I actually really love some of the lyrics of this song, and I was so tempted. I'm quite into my musicals. It's a good job, Married to Fee. She loves her musicals. But at the end of interpreting Pharaoh's dream, he ends with hinting, you need someone, and who this man could be, I just don't know. And he just keeps drumming that line home until finally Pharaoh is inspired by a bad rhyme of the word no and Joe, short for Joseph, to go, you! Nowhere in this passage does Joseph prompt Pharaoh to say, come to me, O king! He isn't interested in ascribing glory to himself anymore. It's not about him now. For Joseph, the point was, God will give this. And so when Pharaoh is deciding it, Pharaoh actually says that he needs a man who has the Spirit of God in him. And that's the criteria that gets Joseph the job of leading Egypt through a coming famine. What about you? What about me? Are we interested in our glory? Are we robbing God of the glory he deserves? Or are we saying, God can? I cannot, but God can. I tell you, the promises God's given, they will not come to pass. Not until we get to that point where God is glorified in and through them. All too often, I believe it is our own character that is actually in the way. And so, yes, God will put us in circumstances that are hard and harsh. He'll stack the odds against it to bring us to that place where we realize we are utterly dependent upon God's faithfulness. Where instead of prompting and nudging and pushing in our own strength, we look through the eyes of faith in one who is greater than our circumstances, who is the source of every ability and gift that we could ever have. And we fix our eyes on him. There are tremendously powerful lessons in this passage. For me, they make me stop, take stock of the promises God has given me, some of which, look, I don't know how they'll happen. You'll remember some of them. When I first came to Edge Hill, I dreamt of being a church pastor. My plan was to become a teacher. Yeah, that worked out well, didn't it? Some of you will remember me breaking down in tears over that one. And then I'd imagined, when I was 30, having tasted of real life, I'd move on. That's this year. And to be honest, having prayed a lot, I know this isn't the time for those promises from God, and I don't see how they'll work out. But you know what? I have to look at my own heart and say, right, were these good ideas or God ideas? If they're God, if they're based on promises, they will come to pass. And no matter what situations or circumstances I may be in, I can hold my life to them. I can stake my life on them if they're rooted in God. I've used that as an illustration. We've all got similar, I'm sure. There are ones we all know about inside this church. People who believe for things that seemed impossible that finally came to be. There are some wonderful stories in our church of people who came to a place where faith became sight. Who came, like Joseph, to the place where Pharaoh is stood before them, saying, tell me the meaning of my dream. If you're one of those people, your story is an inspiration for those of us who are not there yet, who are still in that in-between stage between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise that is found in God. For those of us who are in that in-between place, that's really who this word is for today. To remind you, to remind me, he who has promised is faithful. You know what? The universe would end before even half a sentence of a word from God even begins to fail. That's how much we can stake our lives on him. One day, for each and every one of us, our faith will become sight. That's the nature of faith when you trust in God. It will come to pass because it's rooted in him. One day, it will come to pass. On that day, we as a church will stand with you, celebrate for the fulfillment of what God has said. In the meantime, don't let go. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Because it's all rooted in him. May God bless this word to our hearts.